The Why Me Project, an exclusive presentation of Faith Strong Today.
Episode number...
Honestly, I don't...
You've like lost count.
Remember.
Yeah, it's fine. 186.
Okay.
And most of the time when we get a guest, it's there's, you know, through people or people through people or whatever else. And our guest this week actually reached out because they've heard the podcast. The story about their son, Rain. It's Alex and Ryan. We're going to be able to dive into their life, kind of what their goals are, what's been going on.
Yeah.
And then actually have hopefully some updates in that as well.
Because this is a fluid story. We are in the midst of what's happening with their family.
So, Alex, Ryan, how are you guys?
We're doing great.
We're blessed and highly favored. Thank you.
Hey, amen to that.
This morning.
Alex, we'd like to, we'll start with you quickly. We'd like to ask this skill testing question because we never know where it's going to go. Alex, who are you and where did you come from?
I'm an artist and I came from heaven.
Amen to that. Ryan, my friend, who are you and where did you come from?
Who am I? I'm a cherished and precious child of God, and we are from heaven, and we are coming through, you know, this place and this life. Right now, we're coming through Edmonton. It's where we're living right now. I was born up north in Hay River, Northwest Territories, okay. And moved around a little bit, BC and Alberta, and you know, mostly grew up in Millet, actually.
And then before we get to the main part of the story and the reason why we're talking today, how did you guys meet?
Well, it's a pretty interesting story, and I mean, we'll go way back in my testimony to when I was a little guy. You know, I definitely was brought up in a Christian home. I think like everybody, the trials and tribulations that come in life, I was in and out of Christianity for a long time, living life on the fence. Serving, you know, both God and I guess and the enemy for a lot of years. Alex and I actually came to meet in a very dark time in our life. We were caught up in active drug addiction. Yeah, that was just over four years ago, and went through some pretty dark times in active addiction. Essentially, we were both living on the streets and using drugs together. Yeah, some things happened. You know, one point in there, I ended up incarcerated for a short period of time, was really brought back into a new relationship with God while being incarcerated. It was interesting. There was a group of guys in there who were running a Bible study, and this thing grew. I was only in there for a month, but it grew from about six of us to 25 guys on a unit of 70 people.
Wow.
And, man, God just... He just started working in my life in there. We had some other things happen, you know, outside of there that were just pretty devastating. And you know, with our families and the disconnections that we had there, I think everybody essentially gets to pick their bottom. With what had transpired in my life at that point, it was either get out of the drugs and get out of that lifestyle. I could see very quickly that, you know, jails, institutions, and death are the results of living that way. I'd been through some institutions, been in the jails, and death was definitely staring us both in the face.
So when Ryan got out of jail, we started going to Celebration Recovery. We both learned some really good stuff, and that's where I really got into the Bible, and I actually accepted Jesus into my life. I was raised in the church, but it was mostly just my mom making me go.
We've all been there.
Yep. Yeah.
So Celebration Recovery was a really good place for us to kind of connect to God in the midst of, you know, withdrawals and just coming out of those patterns.
So you guys meet, you go through all this stuff, you're struggling, you're off and on, but you decided that, you know, we're going to be clean, we're going to be together, and then you find out that you're pregnant. Was it shocking?
Yes.
Was it something that you were expecting? And as we kind of go through this journey of then you know having Rain.
It was not expected. It was a shock. I actually started crying when I found out. But, like, it was, like, a good and a bad cry. It was, like, mixed emotions. It was, like, oh, my gosh, I'm pregnant. Like, so awesome but scary.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so the pregnancy went really well. It was awesome. I had like morning sickness really badly in the first bit, but there were no like big complications during my pregnancy. And then birth was, of course, it was excruciating, but
yeah,
I only was in labor. Like, yeah, it was hard, but it was, as soon as I got to the hospital, it was 15 minutes until Rain was here. So,
oh wow, I'm jealous.
Really yeah. Yeah.
So, you deliver Rain. Throughout the pregnancy, did you know that there was something wrong? Did the doctors think there was anything wrong, or was it just it was a healthy baby and a healthy pregnancy?
Yeah, it was supposedly a healthy baby, healthy pregnancy. All the tests checked out. Rain looked good at birth. But then after a while, we saw that his chest was concave and he wasn't moving like other babies. Around the 3-month milestone, we were like, okay, he's really not moving. His head is floppy. Like when people would pick him up, his head would just fall. Mm. And we'd be like, oh, careful, careful, careful. And everyone was telling us like, oh, he can't lift his head. And we didn't know much about babies in the beginning. So we took him to the doctor and we took him a couple times and got different blood tests and all that. And our doctor eventually said, don't compare him to other babies because they're all different and they all grow at their own pace. And then around 4.5 months, we decided to go to a different doctor.
Well, we got a referral at that time to a pediatrician because they couldn't figure it out what was going on with all the tests that they ran on Rain. They didn't test for SMA or for spinal muscular atrophy. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't been a standardized test. It's something that, you know, we're working together with a group on making it a mandatory test now for anybody because they actually have a treatment for it now. Hmm. They've never had a treatment for it in the past, so they never tested for it. If you had a child who was born with it and the disease started to take them, it just took them. It's the number one respiratory killer amongst infants. So it takes 95%+ before they ever reach the age of 2.
Hmm.
So they never tested for it because there wasn't anything that they could do about it. As we went on the first couple of months trying to figure out what was going on with Rain, the doctors that we were seeing, they just came to a point where they said it was almost instantaneous, the diagnosis that she called it floppy baby syndrome. And which is sort of a, you know, just another name for SMA or spinal muscular atrophy.
What is spinal muscular atrophy?
It's a genetic disease. It's hereditary. So Ryan and I were unfortunately both carriers without knowing it. It's a progressive disease.
Yeah, and atrophy means like a wasting away or a breakdown, you know, as opposed to something like hypertrophy means to build the muscle up.
Hmm.
Atrophy means to break down or wasting away. So what it is, it was sort of the perfect storm. As Alex mentioned, we were both carriers, and we didn't know that. We don't have any effects of it in us. It wouldn't show up at all in us. But in the perfect storm, I guess you could call it, a gene from each of us came in into Rain, and
both of them matched.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they matched, and they call it a deleted gene is what they call it. And so he was missing essentially the gene to be able to produce protein or to build muscle. These individuals, rather than being able to get stronger, they progressively get weaker. Rain came out quite normal, and you know, as far as whatever normal is, he seemed fully functional. To us, there was just no indication that there was anything not right. You know, as the months went on, and as Alex mentioned, you know, he really wasn't moving his legs the way a baby normally does. And, you know, we got suspicious finally, you know, but that was after being told not to compare him to other babies, that they'll get it when they get it.
Yeah.
So we just trusted in the process and just had faith that, you know, everything would be fine.
When the doctor told you the news, did you feel relief because you now knew what was happening, or was there something else that you were feeling?
We didn't know what it was, right? Even when they told us, oh, it's floppy baby syndrome. And they said to us, they said, hey, you know, basically, don't pass go. Don't collect $200. Go to the Stollery right now. We got a bed for you guys in ICU. But don't worry.
Don't panic. Don't panic.
Okay.
It's the worst, yeah.
I'm panicking just hearing this, okay?
Yeah. And we had no clue, really, as to what SMA was. So we had to go and research it.
Yeah, and then when we went to the Stollery that day, they did the blood test, and it took a week for it to come back. Oh, and wow. So during that time, Ryan got an NG tube because he stopped. He had gotten progressively weaker, and he stopped breastfeeding, and so he wasn't getting the nutrients he needed. So they put an NG tube in, which is a tube that goes down his nose into his stomach, and we had to learn how to actually put that in and remove it and replace it. And I had to feed him milk through a syringe every 2 hours. That was hard, and he also got his BiPAP, but for nighttime at first.
A BiPAP is what?
A BiPAP is a breathing machine. It's like a mask that gets strapped to your face, and it covers your nose. It's often used for, like, sleep apnea in adults.
Okay.
But yeah, people with COPD, you know, it's an assisted breathing machine. There's no additional oxygen. He's on the same, you know, air as we are.
Yeah.
But this machine forces air in and draws air out.
It just forces the air into his lungs. So he only had that at nighttime before his cardiac arrest about a month later. We were released from the Stollery the first time. And then about a month later, we were at Buffet Royale on the south side. Rain was meeting my grandparents for the first time. My granny was holding him, and she gave him back. I noticed that he was kind of like an off color. He wasn't like his usual pink. He was kind of blue, and I just noticed it took me a couple seconds, and I was like, he's not breathing. As soon as everybody realized, it was like complete chaos. Yeah. Everybody started freaking out. The whole restaurant exploded.
Well, it was a busy Saturday night, you know, at prime time, 6 o'clock, when Alex left. Said, hey, Rain's not breathing. I mean, I jumped up at that moment and just yelled, I need someone to do child and infant first aid CPR right now. Like, top of my lungs, it was, you know, I needed to see the whole restaurant, you know, every head turn. But, you know, in that moment, you do what you have to do, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And your child's not breathing. You're in a public setting. You know, I took my level 3 first aid, you know, my CPR probably 10 years ago. Haven't really renewed, you know, knew how to do infant first aid and CPR, but, you know, very hesitant, and they suggest not doing it on your own if you can avoid it.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So I'll tell you, by the grace of God, the manager on duty was actually training to be a nurse. She came over after Alex's grandma had initially initiated the CPR, the first aid, and this nurse came over. Like I said, she was the manager on duty, and she took over in that moment, and I just asked God for some clarity and said, phone Pastor Sam. So I got on the phone. I phoned my pastor right there in that moment, and he said, Ryan, put the phone to his ear. Put the phone to Rain's ear. And he said, speak life into him. And he said, don't stop. Mm-hmm. Don't stop until you see God move. Don't stop. And I put the phone to Rain's ear, and I could hear my pastor coming through the phone. 6.5 minutes later, we weren't seeing a whole lot of movement out of Rain. The lady, the manager, she flipped him over and was going to start hitting him on the back, thinking maybe he was choking on something. Well, we knew, Alex and I, we knew that he wasn't choking on anything because he hadn't been fed anything, because he's been fed through the NG tube in his nose. And when she turned him over to hit him on the back, he opened his eyes and he looked at me. I said, thank you, Lord. The doors came open and the ambulance, the paramedics came in and they took over in that moment, strapped our little guy down and, you know, put the machines on that they had to, put him in the ambulance. And I mean, this was... And there was death all around us, and you could hear people
crying,
screaming,
yeah, gonna die,
and oh, you know, oh my God, a dead baby, and we just had to look past that and say, no, we are not going to listen to what the world is saying right now. we're going to listen to God. And he brought us through it.
And how old is Ray now?
He's 20 months.
So you're going through all of this stuff and different machines, and you're learning how to do G-tubes and whatever else. At some point, you would think that there is a cure for this, that he wouldn't have to deal with this anymore. What does that look like?
When we got the diagnosis, so Spinraza was actually approved the same month that Rain was born, but it took us a couple months to get it. So he got his first dose at around 5 months. Spinraza is a lumbar puncture, so they take a big needle and they remove 5 mils of spinal fluid from the base of your spine, and they put in 5 mils of Spinraza.
Okay.
It costs, what, $120,000 a shot?
Yeah, $120,000 to $150,000 per shot. And it's, like Alex described, a lot like an epidural, which I've never had, but I've heard they're quite painful. So it's every 4 months for life at $150,000 per injection. And what this drug does is it stops the progression of the disease where it's at. It doesn't really fix anything or correct anything.
It's more like a Band-Aid.
Yeah,
it keeps the person alive and, right where they're at. Wherever they're at, it will hold them there.
Yeah, we're very fortunate to have received that because that was not even an option 2 years ago. So that was...
Yeah, and some of the... While we were in the hospital, dealing with some of these doctors who weren't even aware of Spinraza, we had a nurse when we initially went in, and praise God for the Stollery and the people there. They're absolutely. But we had some interactions with some people where we were told that more about the disease and that 95% plus don't make it, and there was... There was a point where there was a lot of hopelessness sort of being pushed our way.
Rain was in a medicated coma, and he was attached to, like, so many wires. He was just, I have pictures, and it's saddening just how many wires were attached to his body, and they weren't sure, if he was going to bounce back. And
a lot of it was, it's due to just, I guess, people who are uninformed or people who have dealt with the disease for so many years. We talked with one particular doctor who said, Ryan, I've been dealing with this for 29 years, and we tell people the same thing. I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do. Take your child home and enjoy what time you do have together.
Hmm.
And we said we won't accept that. We will not accept that.
They told us that he wouldn't have a good quality of life and that if we wanted to unplug him, that it wasn't the wrong decision and, like, there were no wrong decisions. No one would judge us that it was okay. And we were just completely shocked. Like, we were like, wow, where did that come from? Like,
I was saying we wouldn't accept that. And because we had started to learn about this Spinraza that could, potentially prolong the life and stop the disease where it's at. It's a new drug. It's only been around for 6 years at that point. And so, and it was brand new to Canada, essentially to Alberta. Rain was the second child to ever receive the Spinraza in Alberta, and it was awesome. I mean, we got to see some we got our boy, alive and with us. But we weren't satisfied with that. We said, no, man, it's God's will to heal.
We won't accept a life of Rain on 24/7 BiPAP, being fed by a pump through his stomach 17 hours a day, being monitored by an oximeter at all times, and this heavy equipment just follows him around everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
And we were we won't take this. And so we found out about Zolgensma, which is what we're raising this money for. Zolgensma,
what is it?
Is a brand new gene. Yeah, it's a brand new gene replacement therapy. And so it's a 1 hour IV, and that's it. It's 1 hour, and you're done. It's a one-time dose.
And what it does is they put a synthetic gene in, essentially, is they put a synthetic gene in that goes and adapts to the individual's body, and it triggers a response or sort of tricks the body, and triggers the response to start producing protein.
It goes in and actually replaces that broken gene with a new one. And so Spinraza makes just kind of tricks your body into thinking that the gene's fixed, but Zolgensma actually goes in and replaces that broken gene. And so it's had tremendous, tremendous results in other babies. We were actually so in awe by the video Evelyn's story on YouTube. Evelyn got Zolgensma at a young age.
With Evelyn's story, she was treated in 2016 when they started running clinical trials for the gene replacement therapy down in Columbus, Ohio. And we watched a video of her, and you can see it, the link on it, on our GoFundMe page and Rain's site. She was in a very similar state to what Rain is in, and within 2 years, she was challenging her neurosurgeon to a dance contest by the end of the video.
Wow.
You see her, it just brought a tear to our eyes. She's fully functional. She's talking.
Running.
She's, yeah. And
her mom says, like, sometimes I forget she even had SMA. Like,
yeah, and when we saw that, we just thought, praise God, there's something out there, and it's available. And when we looked a little bit more into it, we found out it's known as the world's most expensive therapy. It comes in at a cost of 2.8 million Canadian.
Wow.
And that's what we said at first. And we said, you know,
that's a lot.
It's impossible for our God. God's arithmetic is different than the world's. We are not, although we are in this world, we are not of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the scriptures that started to come up, all things are possible to those who believe. And, well, we just keep standing on this, that the Rain is healed. There's some symptoms that are there, but we believe, and we haven't stopped declaring that he will crawl, he will walk, he will run, do backflips, play, and live out the good life. You know, we believe that with all our hearts.
So you guys find out that there's this cure. You find out that there's this drug. It's $2.8 million. So what's next? How can people get involved? What can people do? How can we get $2.8 million to you in order for this to happen?
So we have a GoFundMe, and it's called Dancing in the Rain, spelled R-E-I-G-N. And it has our story on it. It has pictures. It has the links to our different news stories. And so it would be really great if people could visit our GoFundMe and just even donate the cost of your coffee. I mean, we spend around like $5 on coffee every day. And I'd like to encourage people just to put that money for one day and help our baby boy. I mean, it's such a small donation, $5 really. In your pocket, it might not seem like much, but together, like,
the biggest thing for us is with it is getting the word out now. We've been at this for quite some time,
yeah,
for a year, and I'm telling you, some of the stuff that we've gone through inside of this time in the last year, the drug company, for example, they've put on a drug lottery. Zolgensma was brought into the U.S. in May of 2019, so it's fairly new. They want to get it into every country in the world.
So they made a lottery called the Managed Access Program, where they're giving away 100 doses of Zolgensma worldwide. That started in January. We tried to get in it, and Rain was denied entry into the lottery because he's on BiPAP for longer than 16 hours a day. And so that was really, really disappointing.
It was one of their requirements. We're not sure why, but if a person is on for BiPAP for greater than 16 hours in a day, they didn't grant them access to this program that Alex is talking about.
Mm-hmm. So all the other babies in Canada who were diagnosed with SMA, they were all entered. And unfortunately, there are two other babies who are not entered, but one is because of age and the other is because of change in regulations. So there was 8 babies who actually won the lottery in Canada, and they got Zolgensma for free. So it really seems like Rain's being left behind. So we've been at this, talking to the government. And so right now, our only option is to fundraise this money. And so there are so many awesome fundraisers on, if you go on Instagram and you look up Rain Josiah, He has his own Instagram account, and there are so many awesome fundraisers put on by different local shops, little stores, even worldwide. There's a couple in the States that are actually really helping out. So if anyone would like to go to Rain's Instagram and just check out those fundraisers. There's Christmas cactuses, there's little umbrella stickers, there's Christmas cards that Rain paints, because Rain paints, and yeah. He is an amazing artist. There's just so many little things. There's mask lanyards.
You got 4.5 million people in our province, you know, and we're looking at a dollar from 3 million people. But we have to reach those people and obviously impact them to want to make a difference. And so we've been on, you know, some local TV stations. We've had some different stories covered. And every time that something like this happens, like what we're doing with you guys this morning, we definitely see results. We see money coming in. We see people offering to help, donations. People are sharing our GoFundMe, because it's getting the word out there. And that's really what we have to do, is just reach enough people.
If 550,000 people donated $5, we would have enough for Zolgensma. Yeah.
And you have to raise this in 3 more months, is that right? Like by March 5th?
Yes.
This is one of the things that I want to say, is that, you know, as we've gone through this journey, there's been other individuals who have raised the money that in some of the newscasts and some of the journalists and stuff that we've dealt with, we've been asked the question, it must be so hard for you guys to look at, you know, how these other people are doing so well. They've raised so much money. Some of these other kids, this one young guy, Arian, they raised the money. So they donated us $50,000. But we've been asked, you know, what's it like for you guys? It must be so tough that these other families who have been raising money for less time than you guys have raised more money. You know, it must be really disheartening. And it must be really disheartening to see that these other kids have had access to this drug lottery, but you guys have been denied. And, I mean, we could get into that whole poor me and discrimination and all this. And we said, you know, praise God. Praise God. We said, this isn't a contest. We're not in contention with these other kids to raise the money first. It's not a race. We want to see all these kids healed from this. I said, man, glory to God that they've raised the $3 million, man. Good for them. Good for them that they won the lottery and we didn't get, you know, selected to enter it. Praise God. I said, we don't know. You know, how we're going to get there. We just know that we're going to get there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, we just know that that God's got this, you know, and we're walking in faith in it. And, yeah, there's been a lot of adversity and a lot of, you know, when we look at this stuff, it these distractions, they could take our eyes off of our relationship with God, and we're not allowing it to do that.
Well, I mean, this is the Why Me Project podcast, and I kind of feel like you've addressed this just a little bit, but for you, what have been or what is a Why Me moment that you've experienced?
Of course, the diagnosis was really hard. When we first got the diagnosis, I actually had to leave. I couldn't handle it. I said, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to leave and come back, because I just can't handle it. And there's definitely been a lot of those Why Me moments just throughout this whole thing. But for us, we can't let that get to us and bring us down and discourage us. And I mean, of course, there's been so many of those why me moments. Why Rain? Like, but we don't focus on that. We really try to move past that, because it's otherwise you could just get stuck in a rut, you know?
If you asked me that question, the why me question, and I go back a little bit further into my past, and it's about 10 years ago, in a prior relationship, myself, I had went through something where we had lost a child, and this was by the choice of my partner at the time, and I went sideways. I want to tell you guys, at that time I had been clean for 5 years. The individual I was with at that time decided that they were going to choose for us that our baby would no longer have life. And then that was revealed to me. After 5 years of sobriety, I went sideways, and I went back onto drugs, back into this. And I use that as my reason, you know, for going and getting high, because I lost a child back then. And what I see when I say why me, and I look at this, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy is what he does. And when I look at my life, I see that back then he came to steal, kill, and destroy. And I made it mean something that it didn't. And I threw my life at that point just right down the toilet, got right back into the drugs, and life became very miserable at that time. Separation from my family. They didn't want to have anything to do with me. Ended up on the streets. Eventually, you know, Alex and I met, and we clean up, we sober up, we give our lives to God. Man, we attend. We're attending meetings 6-7 days a week, church functions, just filling ourselves up with as much God as possible, because we knew that we needed to chase God the way we chased drugs, which was 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from the time we woke up to the time we went to bed, you know, and that could have been several days in between. And it was impressed upon us that we need to go after God that way, and we did. And, man, when God blessed us with this life, with rain, when we were on top of the world, I mean, we were off the streets, we got good-paying jobs, we're living in a nice place, things are going great. We've been blessed. And we're seeing this. And when I look at why me, and I think it's really the answer for everybody, it's because the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And I look at it in cycles, and a lot of people, the life cycles that we live in, how we repeat ourselves until we learn. And here's this in front of me where I'm faced with this life-shattering disease I'm faced with, and thinking, this is an act of the enemy who is trying to do what he did to me 10 years ago, trying to take my child, trying to take him out of my life and see my reaction and see what I do. And you know, those feelings came up for Alex and I, those, you know, the old ways of coping and thinking about, man, you know, just using and not dealing with what was right in front of us. Those feelings came up, and the difference is that we had structure. We have people in our life that we could call out to and call on, and those people, similar people, were there before, but the difference was we didn't take the action to reach out. And you know, Alex mentioned CR, which, if you're not familiar with, is Celebrate Recovery. It's a Christ-centered recovery program, you know, sort of based on the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, but instead of an individual identifying as an addict or an alcoholic, you know, one might say in those secular programs, my name is Ryan and I'm an addict, and that never sat right with me. I knew that that's not who my true identity was, and that I was a child of God, and God opened the doors for us to Celebrate Recovery, which, you know, we go in there and identify, my name is Ryan, I'm a cherished and precious child of God, I'm a grateful believer of Jesus Christ, and I'm celebrating recovery over, you know, meth addiction, and then we'd go to work on whatever was in front of us, you know, anger, whatever it was, and just start knocking down walls and strongholds, you know, to keep moving forward in life. And that's where this, when I look at this why me thing, I think the answer is the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he's not worried about those people that he already has. You know, he wants the people that he used to have that he's lost. And he's coming after us with everything. And this time he doesn't win.
I love that so much. Guys, thank you so much for sharing your story. And I just noticed that Rain and me are birthday buddies, March 5th. So nice. We both That's have a big awesome. Birthday coming up in 2021, and we will absolutely be praying that you guys reach your goal.
RainJosiah.com, at RainJosiah on Insta. Their GoFundMe as well. Alex, Ryan, Rain, thank you guys so much for taking some time and sharing your story.
Thank you so much for having us.
Our pleasure. Thank you, and blessings to you and all your listeners.
Thank you again to Alex and Ryan for taking some time and to share their story.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's more to this. And as you had mentioned at the beginning, it's kind of fluid. It's forever changing. You just don't know what we're going
to
get.
Yeah, and they've been really trying to lobby the government. And other families going through this as well have been doing the same thing. But to get this drug that Rain needs approved here in Canada.
So Zolgensma was the drug. $1.8 million price tag. It's ridiculous. Health Canada approves Zolgensma, the one-time gene therapy for young kids with spinal muscular atrophy, known as the most expensive drug.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had, after this was all said and done, we had taped this a little while ago, and I called Alex and I said, so what does this mean? Give us an update to that. And she said, it's good news. It doesn't necessarily guarantee anything at the moment. There's still some things that have to be in the works and whatever, but it's better news now than it was before.
Exactly. So some forward motions with regards to the progress of the availability
yes.
for this drug for children in our country, also for Rain, but they still need to fundraise just in case.
Yeah, so you could still be able to help out in that way, and we'll hopefully have some updates. I talked to Alex and Ryan. I said, if you guys can give us updates, we'd love to know what's going on in that as well. They said that they will definitely do so. So help where you can, but this is definitely some good news.
Absolutely.
So make sure you download, check out Apple Podcasts, Spotify, FaithStrongToday.com. Tell some friends, tell some family members, and thank you for tuning in.